Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 190 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk a lot of high school baseball tonight. In a little while, I'm going to have one of the stars of the Ankeny Christian Academy team in here. Into our office. I'm also going to be talking to another coach from the CIML whose team was eliminated in sub-state play last night. But right now, my first guest is a junior second baseman for the fifth-ranked Ankeny Centennial team. And last night, he hit a walk-off single in the bottom of the seventh inning to drive in two runs and give the Jaguars a 2-1 victory over Mason City in a Class 4A sub-state semifinal. He's now batting .438 on the season with three home runs and 43 RBIs. He's Damon Churchman. Damon, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Hey, well, I'm doing good. Thanks for coming in today. I know you're getting ready to go to practice here, so I won't keep you too long. Well, congratulations on the win last night. Obviously, it was a struggle for you guys to get through against the left-hander, Carter Thomas. He only allowed two hits through the first six innings. You know, what was making him so tough last night?
I think he was really just hitting his corners and mixing his pitches well, and lefties are always tough to hit with late movement away or in. And yeah, he was pitching really nice last night.
Had you guys seen a lot of lefties this year?
We've not. I think we've seen maybe two or three.
Well, were you ever getting worried? I mean, obviously going down into the last inning, you're down your last three outs. I mean, you had to begin a little bit worried.
Yeah, I think we were all pretty nervous, but yeah, we were just fighting for every out.
Well, of course, in that last inning, Kyle Miller led off with a single, and then Cole Greider bunted, and he was able to reach on an error, so that put runners at first and second. Nick Severson hit a sac fly to center that allowed the pinch runner, Jack Compton, to go to third, and then Greider stole second, and that set up your at-bat, and you came through with a single to right field. So talk about your at-bat and your approach, you know, in that at-bat against Thomas.
Well, first, big hits by Kyle and everyone to get everyone in position. But my approach was, you know, it was runner on third. We were down by one. I was just trying to lift the ball to the outfield, you know, just do a job and have a sac fly. And it was still my approach when Cole stole second base and he threw me. He was, you know, it was outside low and away the whole night. That's what he was doing. And I was looking for that. And I just got the pitch I was looking for and I drove it to right field. And yeah, it just worked out for us.
I mean, could you tell right away that it was going to be a hit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what was that celebration like? I saw on the video that your teammates track you down there between second, third base. It looked like quite the dog pile.
Yeah, it was really fun. We kind of just were lost in the moment, I guess. And I didn't know what else to do. I just kept running. And yeah, it was really fun.
Well, you know, talk about Easton Pratt's performance. You know, if he hadn't pitched so well, you know, he certainly gave you guys a chance to win. But, I mean, he kept you in the game. He threw a three-hitter with eight strikeouts. I mean, he had a great night, didn't he?
Yeah, he's been pitching very well all year. I mean, he's a bulldog. He never gives up, and after we, you know, he gives up a run, anything bad, he's very even keeled in the mind, and he just goes and fights with every pitch.
Well, of course, this was his first postseason start. I mean, do you have confidence going into the game that he could have a performance like that?
Oh yeah, he's a beast. He always comes out every day, and he works so hard, and yeah, we had all confidence in him.
Well, now let's look ahead to the matchup against Johnston in the sub-state final tomorrow night, which will be held over there on the Dragons Field. You know, this is a matchup that I think a lot of people have been anticipating ever since the sub-state assignments came out, because it has, you know, two of the top five teams in Class 4A in that sub-state. You know, what do you think are going to be the keys to this game?
I think just, you know, trying not to do too much with, you know, everything, just keeping the emotions in check and, you know, at the plate, just try to simple swing, just base hits, nothing too big. I'm sure we'll... Each of the teams will have, you know, ups and downs, and it's just, we got to just keep our emotions as well as we can and just try to battle with them.
Well, Coach Haya told me that it'd be, you know, a little bit different for you guys to be playing on that turf over there, so I guess today you're probably going to be spending a little time on the turf, huh?
Yeah, probably. We'll probably be taking ground balls and, you know, yeah, practicing on that turf.
Well, I know in Johnston's first sub-state game, they used two of their pitchers, Carter Willems and Jake Pemble, who are both, you know, very good. You know, who do you expect to see, you know, on the mound tomorrow night, or does it matter to you?
I don't think it matters to us a lot. I think we're, you know, we're ready for anyone and we're going to battle with anyone. But if I was to guess, it'd be one of them too. And if one of them gets taken out, the other one will probably come in the game. They're the best two pitchers on their team and they're very tough to hit.
I know Pemple's a lefty. The other guy, is he a righty?
He's a righty.
He's
Williams is a righty.
All right. Well, do you feel like all the pressure's on them? Because I'm sure most people probably expect them to win this game.
I feel like we're in a good spot and they're probably feeling a lot of pressure. And yeah, they're supposed to win, you know, number one team in the state. And we just, yeah, I think we have a good chance of maybe shocking them.
Well, Coach Hyde didn't want to tell me last night who would be pitching for you guys, but obviously you guys could bring back Joey Oki. He had that great game on Friday night in the first round against Fort Dodge. You know, through the one hitter, he struck out 14 of the 15 guys that he retired. So if he does pitch tomorrow, I mean, I'm sure you'd have confidence in him, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, he's great. He just when he's really hitting his zone or spots and everything's clicking for him, he's pretty untouchable. So yeah, we have good confidence in him.
When you certainly have some other guys that could throw that haven't even been used in the postseason yet. I mean, Lincoln Lacy's had a great year. You just go right down the list. I mean, Ian McGay threw a no-hitter there towards the end of the season. I mean, you got a lot of options, don't you?
Yeah, we got anyone that we put out there. I mean, we have full confidence they'll get the job done. Lincoln, he does very well with, you know, getting batters on their front foot and everything. And Ian, he just really attacks the zone. So, yeah, anyone we put will be good.
Well, it should be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, I'll see you over there tomorrow night, and good luck.
All right, thanks.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is a former Ankeny player who just completed his first season as the head baseball coach at Des Moines Roosevelt. He guided his team to a 27-14 record. Last night, the Rough Riders closed out the season with a 3-1 loss at Valley in a Class 4A sub-state semifinal. He is Randy Wee. Randy, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for the offer and the invitation to be here.
Hey, you bet. Our office is kind of a mess here. Our MJ's property office is moving out by Otter Creek here in a couple of weeks, and things are kind of a mess, but we'll make do.
I'm just happy there's no video because I have a face made for radio, so this is perfect.
Well, it makes two of us. Well, Randy, that was a tough loss for you guys last night. Valley scored 3 runs in the fourth inning, and that proved to be enough as the Tigers pitcher Jeff Rose, who's the son of Valley AD and former Ankeny baseball coach Brad Rose, went on to toss a 7-hitter with 4 strikeouts. I mean, you guys obviously had some base runners throughout the game, but you just couldn't get that big hit when you needed it, could you?
No, I mean, we spread the hits out, and then we had a couple base running blunders that cost us a couple runs, and then we hit into 3 double plays, and Jeff does a very good job of battling, throwing strikes and holding runners. He's really quick home. We stole 160 bases here and couldn't steal a base when he had a chance because he's 1 second home, and he just can't get a good jump. So we battled really hard. We just had some defensive miscues in the fourth inning. They scored 3 runs on 1 hit, and, you know, that's how it plays out this time of season.
Well, yeah, your pitcher, Jaden Morris, only gave up 2 hits. I mean, so he certainly pitched well enough to win, didn't he?
Yeah, he pitched well. That's what he's done all year long. It doesn't matter who he goes against. He, you know, he had a no decision against Waukee. I think he gave up 3 hits in 8 innings. Same thing against, pitched well against Dowling, pitched well against Ankeny in relief. Maybe he started, I can't remember. Same thing against Waukee Northwest. I mean, he's a very, very good pitcher. He's going to be pitching in college, and he battled his tail off, and we just didn't do the little things. And this time of year, you have to do the little things.
Well, Valley will now play at Waukee Northwest in the sub-state final. How do you see that matchup?
Well, we've been able to play both of them this year, and it's a game, like, we should have swept Northwest. We walked 5 guys in the 7th inning and lost in 9. And, you know, they have a nice team. We didn't get to see their number one who's throwing on Wednesday, but we did see the guy that Valley is throwing. It's going to be a really, really good pitcher's duel, and it's going to come down to who plays the best defense and runs the bases the best because it's going to be a very well-played game from a pitching standpoint. Both their catchers can receive and throw. So I'm excited to see that. I wish we'd had the opportunity, but, you know, I'm really excited for Ryan Cooley, who's been at Valley a long time. I've been a good friend. So we'll see how that game plays out, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, Ryan, now didn't he coach for a while and then take some years off and then come back?
He did. Yes, he did. So except for like 3 or 4 years, he's been at Valley basically since 1991 or 92, except for when he went and became the head coach at Newton. He's won a couple state titles at Valley, and he's been doing it a long time. He doesn't get too worked up about games this time of season. It's just another game, and go out and see how the kids play.
Well, now Valley's able to win that game. Will that make you feel better or worse?
It won't help any. When you lose this time of year, it's never easy. You know, you never get those seniors back. The team dynamics that you've created throughout the entire year with the players, that's gone. You'll never have the group of kids together again. There's only 4 teams happy at the end of the year, you know. So
Well, Randy, you've been a coach around the CIML for a long time. You coached back at Johnston. You had an undefeated season in 2008. That was obviously the highlight of your career. And you also spent some time at Des Moines Lincoln, Marshalltown Community College. I'm probably missing a couple stops. Now, I know you were hired at Roosevelt shortly before the season started, because didn't the previous coach kind of leave unexpectedly?
Yeah, he resigned on the Friday before the first day of practice. And they called me on Wednesday when they knew that was in the works and asked me to do it. And I turned him down. And after some negotiation and some back and forth, I agreed to do it. Had to talk to my family. Had to talk to my office staff. Had to talk to the AD and the principal. And, you know, it was kind of weird. I already had a vacation scheduled. And so I had to miss a week of the season because that was non-refundable. And it was weird. I went to watch my son play soccer for Centennial at the state tournament. And I left the game against Ankeny Centennial at our place towards the end of the first game, and it was just and then to watch him play and then go in a state tournament, going to on vacation was kind of weird being gone a week. But the kids were very understanding. They knew what the situation was. But the kids it's a really, really special place to work. I've never had a season that's been more enjoyable from the kids, the players, the parents, the community, the administration. It's a really special place, and they have talent there. So
you obviously weren't actively looking to coach again right now, were you?
No, in fact, about a year and a half ago, I threw away all my baseball-related stuff. I threw away my Fungo bat, any charts, any books, anything that I had. And so, I'd been doing it almost 29 years. I thought it was time, but it was a blessing in disguise and a godsend, and it's been really fun again. I'll be there for several more years.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, you obviously enjoyed this season then, huh?
Yes. Yeah, I did. I'll tell you, and I never felt as weird, though, walking in on the third day. My first day of practice was the third day of practice. I never felt as weird in my life walking in on the third day of practice and introducing myself and saying, hey, I'm your new head coach. And I got to give credit to the seniors and the entire baseball team after having three coaches in 5 months, because the previous coach left in January or December to go to Urbandale. And so for what they've been through, It was really fun, and the kids are very resilient and very accepting and very trusting and work pretty hard. So I couldn't have asked for a better situation under the circumstances.
Were you very familiar with any of the kids before you went there?
No.
Not at all, huh?
No. When I don't coach, I don't really watch baseball, because if I do, I miss it. So I just don't watch it, because then I don't have a longing for it. And It was weird. By the second week of the season, you're working all day long and you're running ninth grade through 12th grade's kid in practice, and you're there for 4 hours, then you're going home writing practice plans, I'm getting asleep at 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night, and then not being able to sleep, and I'm dead tired, and both my wife and my son said, you don't look very healthy, but you seem really happy. So it obviously did something for my soul.
Well, good. We talked about the talent that they have there. Obviously, one of the guys they had there last year that wasn't there by the time you got there was Jamison Patton, who transferred to Ankeny. And I know he didn't transfer for baseball purposes. It was more football-related, but I'm sure he's a guy that you would have liked to coach.
Yeah, and, talent-wise, yes, it would have been fun to coach him talent-wise, but you talk to the football coach at Roosevelt, you talk to Coach Nelson, you talk to his teammates, and all they ever talk about is how great of a person he is, how great of a leader he is, how hard he works, and so I think it would have been just fun to be able to be around him from a person and a leadership standpoint.
Well, he made a quick impression here at Ankeny because he went out for track and just immediately had success in the high jump. I think he tied for fourth in the state meet, and he'd never done it before.
I did not know that. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and he also ran on some relays. So, yeah, he's had quite an impact here.
Well, he had made an impact against us when we played him, too. We weren't supposed to throw him a fastball. We didn't. He had a three-run bomb over the scoreboard. It was pretty impressive. And he made a couple of really nice plays in the field.
Well, Randy, I want to get your thoughts on some of the other games from last night. I was at the Ankeny-Indianola game, and the Indians used a fast start in that one to post an 8-5 victory. Did that result surprise you?
I haven't seen Indianola play. All I know is from talking to their coach at the all-district meeting, and then I've known him since he's been at Martinsdale St. Mary's. He always puts a really nice product in the field that's very fundamentally sound. It does all the little things and executes and competes really well. So as good as Ankeny was this time of year, it's going to come down to who makes the pitches and who does the little things and who executes. And so I didn't get to see the game, but as much as I wanted Ankeny to win that game, I'm not surprised that Indianola won it, because they have some talent. They have Brady Blake, who's going to Iowa. I mean, they have some really good players. The starting quarterback on the football team is also an all-district baseball player. I mean, they have a nice catcher from talking to other coaches. I mean, they're a pretty good team.
Well, the Indians will now play at number 10, Urbandale, in the sub-state final. And obviously, they'll be able to bring Blake back on the mound now, so I'm sure you'd give them a chance to win that one as well.
I will give them a chance to win that game, but also Urbandale has Sam Harris, who's a Duke commit.
Right.
And you got a lefty that's going to be throwing 85 to 88 and also can hit some bombs from the left side of the plate. So, Urbandale's had a ton of success here recently. So that'll be an exciting game to see what happens with two really, really good pitchers and two Division I players going head-to-head.
Well, also last night, Centennial scored two runs in the seventh inning to beat Mason City 2-1 on a walk-off single by Damon Churchman, who we just had here in the office. The Jaguars have been playing so well that I was kind of surprised that Carter Thomas was able to, hold them down as much as he did. But, at least Centennial was able to advance, and that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, and, we played Centennial early, and they weren't really playing their best ball. They didn't play great that night. We didn't play great, but they were better than us. And basically from that week or the next week on, they've been playing really well. And, they have so many young players playing for them. So many, a couple of freshmen that come in and play some roles, sophomores, juniors. People don't understand how hard it is when you step up and go from playing little league and travel ball to being on the varsity as a freshman or going from freshman team up to varsity as a sophomore. The game's faster. The balls are hit harder. The balls that used to fall in don't fall in for hits anymore, and breaking balls are sharp. I mean, everything's harder, and it's more competitive. So I think as they started to get their feet underneath them and they started to get comfortable, I'm not surprised what they did. They have a lot of talent. And, last night I didn't expect the game to be that competitive last night either. Coach Root at Mason City, his teams always fight and scratch and claw whether they have a lot of talent or don't have a lot of talent. So I knew they'd compete, but this time of year when you have that many young kids, sometimes they're not nervous, but they're not able to get sometimes their emotions under control in which to play at optimal level and optimal confidence. But they did enough to win, and that's all that matters. You survive in advance.
Well, now the Jaguars have a huge challenge because they have to go over to number 1 Johnston to play the Dragons tomorrow night. And, of course, Johnston's been a fixture at the state tournament for the last, 10 years. They won a title a couple years ago. They finished second last year. I mean, how do you see that matchup? Do you think Centennial can pull off the upset?
Well, I'm really looking forward. I might actually drive over there and see that because I think you got Oki on the mound. Centennial's playing really well. They're hitting up and down their lineup. They're playing much better defense. They got depth on the pitching staff. And then you have maybe, in my opinion, the best defensive outfielder in the state in Easton Miller. So anything that Johnson puts in play in the outfield, he's gonna chase it down here. Kind of reminds me of high school Jim Edmonds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Centennial's got a really good chance to people will think it's an upset, but I think if Centennial goes in there and just plays their game and relaxes, they get a chance to walk out there victorious. But again, this time of year, I mean, balls that are typically called balls and strikes that are called strikes, if that changes during the game or, the routine plays you typically make, you make one less of those or whatever it happens. It's just this time of year, there's not really no room for error. So, but it's going to be an exciting game. I hope you're going to it.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there. Don't have to make any choices tomorrow since Ankeny's not playing. But, yeah, my plan was to go to Centennial tomorrow, regardless, after going to Ankeny last night. But why ask Damon Churchman this, if all the pressure would be on Johnston because they are the number one team, and most people probably do expect them to win. And do you think in a situation like that that the pressure is kind of on the team that's supposed to win?
It kind of depends on the players. Different players respond differently. Some do not like being the hunted, and some really enjoy it, and others always want to be the hunter. And in this situation, Johnson's the hunted, and Centennial's the hunter. So it'll be maybe the toughest sub-state game Johnson's had in the last 5 to 7 years in order to get to state. And so we'll see how they respond. And, the only difference is those kids are used to being there every year and playing in the state tournament. So we'll see how they respond. They've got a lot of different kids playing this year.
Well, it's too bad that, two of the top five teams in the final rankings ended up in the same sub-state. But I talked with Coach High about this, like a week ago. And, the way he talked about it, I mean, there really isn't much that the association can do when they put out those assignments because the rankings can change.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how they'd be able to avoid that maybe in the future. But
well, that's always a debate. And, the way I've always approached it is if you have a team that really believes they can win state, their goal is not to just get there, or their goal is not to hope to get there, but if they really believe they can win state, they don't care who they play when they play them.
Right.
Because if your goal is to win state, you got to beat everybody in your path anyway. So you know, watching the Centennial team the last month and following what they've been doing, I mean, they've kind of taken the approach that we're going to win every game, and they don't seem to concede to anybody or give anybody too much respect, but they still respect everybody they play. So I don't know. I don't know the right answer to that, you know, because, you know, when I was at Johnson, there were so many times we had a number one or number two team in our sub-state, and we were in the top 10, and I'm like, man, every year. And then I had to start changing my opinion and my mindset, and so did our players. But, you know, I'm guessing the Johnson fans are more upset about this than the Centennial fans are.
Yeah, you might be right. Well, when I talked to Coach High last night, he didn't want to commit to throwing Joey Oki tomorrow night. But after the way Joey pitched on Friday night, I can't imagine that he would throw anybody else out there.
Well, when you got a thoroughbred, you know, you're going to ride him. You know, and I think Joey probably wants to be in that moment. And Mark might be playing a little bit of gamesmanship by not letting anybody know who's throwing. But
sure,
I guarantee you he's throwing. And if I'm wrong, Mark, I'm sorry. But yeah. He's going to go out there and he's going to compete his tail off. And it'll be fun. The kids will have a great time.
Well, I haven't had a chance to look at some of the scores from last night. Was there any other results from last night that surprised you?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Who else?
I think there were a couple of other three seeds that advanced past that round. Can't remember who, but...
You know, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I haven't looked really at all. And I looked last night on the way home, and then I looked when I got home, and I can't remember. You know, you're just... Anytime you finish your season, you're kind of in shock when you go home. Nobody ever goes into a game thinking that's their last game of the year. So
you're so focused on your own team. Yeah, you don't care about what other people are doing. You know.
Yeah, you're thinking about what would have I done differently? Is there any changes I should have done differently? You're thinking about the players and how they're responding, and you're kind of numb and kind of in shock. But I think Cedar Rapids is playing. The one I am surprised about, Cedar Falls got thumped last night, 14-1. And they are ranked 6th in the state, I believe. And then I think Cedar Rapids Kennedy won also last night. And that doesn't surprise me. Coach Hoyer does a really good job over there.
Yeah, it's another coach that's been around forever. Well, obviously, we don't know, you know, who's going to be at the state tournament yet. But, you know, do you think this year's tournament has a chance to be pretty wide open, you know, especially if Johnson doesn't get there?
Yeah, I even think, honestly, if Johnson gets there, it's wide open. Valley, I know their record doesn't show it, but they have a really athletic team, and they got – two really, really quality pitchers. They got a nice catcher. Centennial's team is very, very good. They're solid at every position. They got a really loaded pitching staff. Johnson's good. Waukee Northwest, they get there, is a team that, with that kid on the mound, it can beat anybody on any given day. Southeast Polk's record doesn't reflect what they are good. We played them in a scrimmage during the season, and I'm surprised by the record because they have size, speed, and athleticism all over the place, and they have some arms.
Yeah, and they beat Johnson twice, I know.
Yes, and then, you know, you got Indianola, and you got Urbandale. I mean, you got Hoyer over at Cedar Rapids Kennedy. I'm trying to remember who else from over there. I think there's a Dubuque Wallet or maybe a Dubuque Hempstead that's still in it.
Well, of course, Pleasant Valley is the defending champ.
Yeah,
so.
Pleasant Valley, and they've been on a roll in all their sports for the last couple of years. So, you know, if Johnson would beat Centennial, everybody's going to crown them the favorite to win it. But I think if Centennial wins it, everybody's going to go in and think they got a legitimate chance to win just because of that fear factor with Johnston. But I think on any given day right now, anybody can beat anybody else. Everybody that's left does little things. They hit it. They play defense. They pitch it. They run the bases. They're all bought in as a team. So, I still wouldn't be surprised to see Valley win. I mean, I really like the kid they have throwing on Wednesday, Christensen. He's got a great fastball and a good breaking ball, and then, you know, they play good defense and they catch it well. So we'll see.
Well, this year's tournament will be a little different than last year's over in Iowa City because a year ago, Ankeny had to play, well, the first two games, and then Johnston advanced and had to play the third day in a row, and they kind of ran out of some pitching, I think, because Pleasant Valley really took it to them. But this year's tournament is going to be spread out a little bit because I think the big schools play every other day,
yes,
at least early in the week.
Yeah.
So that might help everybody's pitching staff, so.
Yeah, the thing you get caught in a state tournament is if you throw over 25 pitches, you got to have 24 hours rest, so you can't pitch the next day. So depending on how your pitching staff lines up and how many arms you have, you can get a kid out there for 40 pitches, and he pitches Tuesday, he can also throw Thursday, or he pitches Thursday, he can also throw Saturday. And then if you have a kid that's under 90 pitches. He only has 3 days rest, and 65 pitches, it's 2 days. So I think if Centennial wins that game on Wednesday, they got a pretty good chance if they continue to win, because they have a pretty deep pitching staff, and they got some arms they can throw.
They do, for sure. Well, hey, Randy, thanks a lot for coming in today. I enjoyed the conversation, and you know, enjoy the state tournament, I guess, if you're over there.
Thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate all you do for the players and the fans and the parents and students in Ankeny. Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You are our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a senior pitcher and catcher for the Ankeny Christian Academy baseball team, and he helped lead the ninth-ranked Eagles to the best season in school history. They finished with a 26-2 record after losing to Ogden 3-2 in eight innings in a Class 1A district final on Saturday at Urbandale. My guest batted 577 on the year with one home run, six triples, 11 doubles, and 21 RBIs. And on the mound, he posted a 10-1 mark with a 0.91 ERA and 88 strikeouts. He is Malachi Johnson. Malachi, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on a great season. You know, I know it didn't end the way you wanted it to, but you still have to be awfully proud of everything that you guys were able to accomplish this year.
Yes, I'm very proud. Going into the season, I wasn't sure, honestly, how we were going to do, and we lost a couple guys that were big parts of our team, and coming into the year, I was a little skeptical on what would happen, but we made some things happen, moved some things around, and ended up having a pretty great year.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's break down Saturday's game a little bit since I wasn't over there. You started on the mound, and the game was scoreless after three innings, and then Coach brought in Eli Christensen to replace you in the fourth. Now, Eli hadn't given up a run all year, but in that fourth inning, Ogden's Dylan Perdue got a hold of one and hit a home run to put the Bulldogs ahead. You know, was that kind of a shock to see someone hit one out against Eli?
It was a little bit. I wasn't sure kind of what was going to happen, but Eli's been basically unhittable all year, so to see that was a little jarring. I think probably everybody at the game was a little jarred.
Oh, for sure. Well, Ogden got another run in the sixth, then you eventually went back to the mound in the seventh to get your team out of the inning. Now, I know Coach has done that with you before, where you start the game and then later return to the mound. Is that kind of tough on your arm, or are you used to doing that by now?
No, actually, yeah, we've been doing that for a few years now. I've been doing it basically since I was a freshman, so it wasn't anything really different than what we've been doing, and I have gotten pretty used to it.
Well, going into the bottom of the seventh, you know, it certainly didn't look good for you guys, but your team has been able to rally before, like it did in a win over Moravia. So do you have confidence that you could do it again?
Yes, we did. We knew we'd put up a fight. Our boys would never give up in any game during the season, and even the losses that we did have, we fought back as much as we could, so yeah, I knew we would at least have a chance of coming back, and we ended up doing it.
Well, Eli started a rally with a double, and you guys were able to eventually score the tying runs before leaving the bases loaded, so that sent the game to extra innings. You know, did you feel like you guys had momentum then going into the eighth inning?
I did. We had a lot of momentum, but didn't end up.
Well, yeah, then Ogden scratched across a run to take the lead. And then the bottom of the inning, you and Eli had back-to-back hits to put runners at second and third with no outs. You know, but you guys just couldn't get that big hit that you needed, could you?
No, couldn't.
Well, you and Eli certainly did everything that you could. The two of you combined for five hits at the plate, and you racked up a total of 20 strikeouts on the mound. Eli went 3 2/3 inning, and he fanned all 11 of the batters that he retired. I don't know how hard he throws, but he just pretty much blows people away, doesn't he? Is that kind of fun to catch him?
It is. It's a lot of fun. I honestly don't really know what he does differently, but people just can't seem to hit him. So it's really fun to catch and just see the people. Jesus basically just attacks them with fastballs, and they just can't catch up to it.
Well, Ogden will play in the sub-state final tonight against number 8 Cam, and that game will be played at Bondurant Farrar. You know, will that make you feel better or worse if Ogden pulls up off the upset and beats Cam?
It would make me feel a little better if Ogden pulled out the win, but I really wish we were playing in that game. But yeah, I'm excited to see the outcome of that one.
Well, you guys obviously didn't prepare for Cam because you aren't going to be playing them, but did you know much about them? Obviously that was a matchup that maybe some people saw maybe coming.
Yeah, well, I did see their, I think their top 1A in home runs hit, so they can
hit for a lot of power, and I think I also saw they were number one in opponent batting average as well. So they kind of have everything you need to have a state caliber team.
Well, Malachi, you're graduating along with the other seniors, so obviously you won't be back next year, but do you think this team has a chance to maybe, you know, get back to this point next year, maybe go farther?
Yes, for sure. They have the work ethic. Coach Duker's a great coach, and they still have a lot of talent on the team, even without me and the other seniors. So I definitely expect them to be back competing for a state title.
Well, I know I enjoyed watching you guys play a couple times there in the postseason. You guys certainly had a great year. So congratulations again on a great year, and thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Damon Churchman from the Centennial baseball team, along with Roosevelt baseball coach Randy Wee, and then Malachi Johnson from the Ankeny Christian Academy squad. Enjoyed the conversation with all those folks. I was hoping to have Andy Pollock from Centennial Digital in today, but we just couldn't work it out. I was going to talk to him about the Centennial game last night that he was on the call for, and then also get his thoughts on tonight's Centennial softball game, since his daughter plays for the Jaguars, and they will be hosting Linmar in the regional final. I'll be going to that game. We'll have Drew Wolf over at Southeast Polk for the game against Ankeny. And just because of the timing of things today, we weren't really able to do much with the softball teams. But come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, and we'll probably be focusing mostly on softball next week.